Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Mem Dalet. We're holding at the last line of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, V'chol Adam lo yiyah bo'il moed. This is a pasuk in Parshas Achrim Mois. No one is meant to be found in the Oil Moed when the Kohen enters. Now we're going to learn in today's Daf a new concept. If the Kohen enters the Heichal, or for that matter, the Kohen Gadol enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim to be Makdir Keturis, or if they enter to be Makdir the Dam, Hazoas HaDam, whether in the Heichal or in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, no one else is meant to be there at that time. So during Akhtaris Keturis or Matan Damim, either in the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen is meant to be there on his own. V'chol Adam lo yiyah bo'il moed. Nobody else is meant to be there. The Yerushalmi says, even a Malach, the Malach who is described as an Adam, Pneim, Kedmus Adam, even Malachim were not meant to be there at that moment. That was the Kasha that the Yerushalmi asks. Back on Daf Lamed Tes, if so, how did Shimon HaTzadik relate that he saw a Zaken Echad accompanying him into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And he brings the Yerushalmi, which answers that it wasn't a Malach, it was Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu Haya. He saw a vision of the Shekhinah itself. In any case, the Pasuk tells us, Kol Adam Lo Yiyah Bo'il Moed, no one else is meant to be found in the Oil Moed during the time of Keturis or Matan Dam. Yochel Afilu Ba'azor, perhaps this halacha applies even in the Azor area. You must clear out the Azor during Keturis or during the Akrobas Hadam in the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tamalayma b'oyal mayid. B'chal Adam l'yeh b'oyal mayid, which is referring strictly to the structure, the Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's meant to be vacated. But the Azorah is not included in this restriction. Eli ela b'oyal mayid sheba midbar. Perhaps this only applies in the Mishkan, in the midbar, because that's what the Pasuk is speaking about. Shiloi, what about the Mishkan Shiloh? Ubeis Oilamim Minayin. What about Mishkan Shiloh, which was a semi-permanent Mishkan? Ubeis Oilamim Beis HaMidosh Minayin. How do we know that this halacha applies there as well? Tamad Loimar Ba Kodesh. Pasuk says, no one is meant to be there. Bechalodim Liyeh Bo'il Moed. Bevoyoy, when the Kohen enters Lechaper Ba Kodesh, Ba Kodesh will add all other types of Mishkan and Beis HaMidosh. Tesis Shanim ask, why do we need a special ribui to include Beis HaMikdash? You would think it's just included in the Mishkan. It's all one and the same concept. And they bring rise, in fact, that many times we don't find there's a special pasuk needed to include the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Tosfos Yeshanim, here it's different because we're speaking about Kedusha-related concerns. This is connected to the fact that there's Kedusha there, and during this Hakrova, it's meant to be just the Kohen and Hashem. Perhaps that's uniquely related to the Mishkan and the Midbar, and not anywhere else. That's why a Pasuk is needed to apply this Halacha elsewhere as well. Continues the Gemara. Einli ela b'sh'as haktor. Perhaps this only pertains to the time of Haktoras Keturis, which the Pasuk is referring to. In this description here, we're going to see soon why. How is it that we see Keturis here? In any case, perhaps it only applies to Keturis. So if the Kohen is engaged in Keturis, whether in the Heichal or the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they must vacate the area. What about Bish'as Matan Damim Minayin? What if he's bringing Dam into the Heichal or the Kodesh HaKadoshim? How would you know that at that point as well, you have to clear out the area? The Pasuk says, this happens when the Kohen enters Lechaper, and Lechaper includes Kapara of Dam, Eli Elibakanisase. Perhaps this only applies while he's entering, while he's engaged in the Avoida, be it Yosu Minayin. What if he's done the Avoida? He's on his way out. How do we know to extend this restriction during that time as well? Tamad Loima Ad Seisoi, it is extended until he actually leaves. All throughout that time, the place must be vacated by other Kohen. V'chiper ba'ado yubad beiso yubad kol kal Yisrael. That's the ending of the Pasuk, which tells us the Kapara is meant to follow this order. First himself, Ba'adoy, then Ba'ad Beisoy, then Ba'ad Kolkal Yisrael. Kaparosoy Kedemes L'Kaparos Beisoy. The Kohen Gadol's personal kapara must come first, before the kapara relating to his family. He must cleanse himself first, prior to presenting himself as an advocate on account of others. Likewise, kaparas beisoy kudemes l'chaparas echav hakehanim. The kapara of his personal family must be taken care of before he engages in kapara for his fellow kehanim, v'chaparas echav hakehanim kudemes the kaparas kol Yisrael, and likewise the kapara on account of his fellow kohanim is meant to precede the kapara on account of kol kal Yisrael. Now, this has several applications. Firstly, as we learned yesterday, that explains why during the first vidui conducted with a par, he will only mention himself and his family, and only then later, when he approaches the par for the second vidui, he will add on the kapara of Bnei Aaron. And the third time, which is going to be on the Sarah Mishtaleach, now he'll do the vidui on account of kol Yisrael. To go in that order. In addition to this point, within the same vidui, we also find this hierarchy. The first time around, he says, for myself and my family. So first himself, and then over to the family. And then when he does the second one for the Bnei Aaron, once again he repeats himself, his family. Apparently, the Kohen can be regarded as a private individual on account of himself. He takes responsibility for his own affairs on account of an individual. But then he's also part of the collective crowd. He's part of the community. So he must do vidui for himself again. But we see it works with a certain sequence. It's first myself, my family, and then he relates to Bnei Aaron. And of course, the third time around, he does kapara for Klal Yisrael as well. Amar Mar, let's go back to the Braisa. Ein li ela b'sh'as haktor. The Braisa proposed, perhaps, this halacha, that we need to vacate the Heichal, Chol Odom L'Yia, during the Haktara, perhaps only applies to Haktara's Keturis, only Ela B'Shas Haktara. My mashma, why would you think we're speaking about Keturis here? The Pasuk doesn't mention Keturis. Omer Rava, V'chein Omer V'Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, V'chein Omer B'Lozim, Omer Kro, because that Pasuk says, V'chiper Ba'adon, U'v'ad Beisoy, U'v'ad Kol Chal Yisro. The Pasuk is referring to a Kapara, which applies equally to himself, his family, and Yisrael. What is that? Ezeu kapara. Where do we find this type of kapara that applies equally throughout? It's not the dam of the par, or the these are very specific and unique. The par is for the Aaron HaKohen and for the Bnei Aaron. We don't find that there should be one single kapara process applied to all equally. So which one is this? Ezo kapara sheshava loy ula beisoy ula achava kehanim ula chokal yisro. Where do we find the kapara that works for everybody equally? Havi oimer ze akteris. Apparently, we're referring to the akteris, which is one aktora on account of all. Ze aktora as akteris. So that leads us to think, to suggest that perhaps this halacha of clearing out the area on account of the Avoida is referring specifically to Keturis, which accomplishes Kapara throughout Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, his family, and Kehanim and Klal Yisrael. And that's why we need an additional pasuk, the word L'chaper HaKodesh, to tell us that this halacha of Achal Odom L'Yeboi Umayit will apply to Matan Domim as well. So when the Kohen is engaged in either Haktaras Keturis, or applying dam, whether in the Heichal or in Kodesh HaKadoshim, the areas must be cleared out. Says the Gemara, what do you mean Keturis is Mechaper? Keturis? Mi Mechaper? Is then Keturis a Kapara? In, says the Gemara, actually it does. It does accomplish Kapara. To Atani Reb Chanina. Lov Madnu. Li Keturis Mechaperis. We do find that Keturis has a Kapara ability. Shinamar. We find by the Magefa after the story with Korach. So a plague began, and Aaron HaKohen quickly applied Keturis to stop the plague. Vayiten esak Keturis vechaper la'am. So we find that Keturis accomplishes Kapara. V'tona d'Rabbi Shimon, al ma Keturis mechaperis. What exactly does Torah accomplish? What's it serving an antidote to? A lashon hara. It's coming to atone for lashon hara. Why? Yovoi davar shebechshay. Let Keteris come along. Keteris is a davar shebechshay, a hidden thing. Why is it hidden? Several ways to explain the Gemara. Either it means because it's brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, or it means because there's nobody else meant to be there, or, as it says, Yishanim says, it's brought quietly, without fanfare. You see, Matan Dam has the coin counting. Achas, achas, achas. Here it's something done quietly, inside, privately, soundless. So it's something which is concealed, and therefore it's appropriate that this will serve as an antidote. V'chaper al masa chashay, v'chaper al masa, which is done quietly, lashon hara, which is generally expressed behind the other person's back. In fact, Rashi points out that even in this case, where Aaron was vayitin as actors, v'chaper la'am, who is he coming to address? The lashon hara, because they complained. They said, "Atam you, Moshe Aaron, atam hamisa masam Hashem." Look, you brought destruction on Hashem's nation. They were expressing lashon hara, negativity towards their leaders, Aaron, Moshe, and Aaron. This was lashon hara, and that was what brought about the magefa, which had to be addressed by keteris. So once again, we learned the new halacha today that while the kohen is engaged in either keteris or matan dam, either in the heichal or kodesh hakadoshim, the area must be cleared out. V'chol adam lo yeh bo el moed. The Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim must be vacated. Tanan Hosam, we learned in a Mishnah in Caleb. Persian, mi bein ha'ulam v'lamizbeach. So now we'll go a step further. Not only does the Kodesh HaKadoshim or Heichal have to be vacated, even the area between ulam and mizbeach. So when you enter the Azara, you have an empty area, then you have the mizbeach, then you have an empty space, Rashi says it's 22 amma between the mizbeach and the next structure, the ulam, which was the antechamber entering into the Heichal. So Persian, they would have to clear out. Nobody can be mi beinu ulam lamizbeach bishas haktorah, when haktorah was in progress. And this is a halacha midrabbanan. I'm going to see an amud beis, because min haTorah, this restriction, this chiv to clear out, only applies to the Heichal, not to the area outside the Heichal, the Azor. But when the Rabbanan, they were concerned that perhaps if you wander too close to the Heichal during the Haktorah, one might inadvertently wander into the Heichal. So keep away from the area which is closest to the Heichal. Persian mi bein ha'ulam v'lamizbeach b'shas Haktorah. Amar b'Lazar, leishanu ella b'shas haktorah deichel. This only applies. This din prisha from that area bein ulam v'lamizbeach only applies ella b'shas haktorah deichel when there was a haktoras keteris or matan dam. This Yishanu says he mentions keteris because it was more common, a more common thing, it was a daily thing, twice daily, more common than the nisin astam in lifnim. In any case, this halacha of prisha from ulam lamizbeach only applies during the haktorah, which was taking place in the heichal, right nearby. Perhaps he could be overcome by curiosity and just walk into the heichal because it was so close. Therefore, he meant to clear out that area as well. Aval b'shas haktorah d'lefnei b'lefnim. But if haktorah, keteris, or matan dam was taking place not in the heichal close by, but all the way inside in the kodesh hakadoshim, that's beyond beyond his reach. He's not thinking about what's going on so far away. In that case, there's no concern that roaming around near the Heichal would draw him into the Heichal as well. Meichal parshi. In that case, when there was something going on deep inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sure, the Heichal needed to be cleared out. That was a chiyuv in HaTorah. Mibein ulam v'lamizbech leparshi, but there was no need to vacate that area between ulam and mizbech. So once again, Rabbi Lezer tells us, this halacha of chol adam lo yeh b'yom ha'id, which applies min ha'Torah to the Heichal, midrabbanan, however, it was extended over to the area next to the Heichal, for concern that he might wander to the Heichal as well, but this only applies when there was something going on in the Heichal. But if the Haktorah was taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that wouldn't generate curiosity, and We're not concerned that inadvertently he might wander into the Heichal, and therefore there's no din of Prisha from that area next to the Heichal. Masiv Rav Ada bar Ava. V'amrila, some say the Kasha was asked by Kidi. Today I saw Nubshan and Kidi. I think Rashi elsewhere says it was a Shem Chacham. But today I saw Nubshan that Kidi means like nothing. It was unattributed. It was an unnamed Akasha. Somebody in Spanish asked it. So either it was Rada bar Ava, and some say Kidi, I'm not sure who did it. So this Kasha was presented as follows. Again, we're asking on Rabbi Lazar, who tells us that between Ulam and Mizbeach, Prisha is only applied when something was taking place close by in the Heichal. But if something was taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no concern of curiosity, and there's no din of Prisha between Ulam and Mizbeach at that point. The Brisa says, Rabbi Yosi Eimer, Kashem Sheposhin, Mibein Ulam V'la Mizbeach, B'shas HaKtorom. Just as Prisha is required from that location, between Ulam and Mizbeach, during Haktorah, we're assuming that we're speaking about your typical, the Haktorah, even, not only Heichal, even Kodesh HaKadoshim. So just as there's a chiyah to be perished from Ulam and Mizbeach during Haktorah, or even Kodesh HaKadoshim, kach perishin b'shas matan par, kohen Mashiach. The same thing applies when a kohen is engaged in applying the dam of the Par Kohen Mashiach, which was a Kohen Gadol who did an Avera, he brings a special carbon whose dam would be applied in the Heichel on the Parochus, on the Mizbeach. Upar Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, this was a part that the Tzibur would bring on account of their Avera, a special case discussed in the Gemara Krisis, in Harius. Usiri Avodis Kechavim, likewise, if there was Matan Dam being conducted for the Soir on account of Avodah Zarah, which the Tzibur committed. So these were Matan Dam taking place in the Heichal. And Rabbi Yossi tells us that would necessitate Prisha, not only from the Heichal, but even from the area next to the Heichal. The area in the Azara, which is called Bein Ulam Lamizbeach. And the Brisa continues. Ha, if that's the case, Ha is like, Hare, okay, so if so, Ma Malish. What advantage, what superiority can you find that applies to the Heichel over Lebein Ha'ulam Lamizbeach, over the section of the Azara which is near the Heichel, between Ulam and Lamizbeach? Is there any difference? Is there any Milo that Heichel has? You see, if both Heichel and this section of the Azara have this din of Prisha, well, is there a mile to the Heichal? Now, of course, Tosis points out there are many advantages to the Heichal over the Azara. We have the Mizbeach Azov and there, we have the Menorah, the Shulchan. That's what the Gemara meant to say. We're speaking within the context of Prisha, this requirement to vacate the area during the Haktorah or the Matan Dam. Is there any difference between the Heichal and the area right beside it? Says the Brisa, actually, yes. Ela, Shebeheichal Pershin Bein Bishas Haktorah. There is a mile. There's an advantage to the Heichal because from the Heichal you have to vacate the Heichal. Whether it's a time of Haktorah means Haktoris, taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Uben Shloi B'Shas Haktorah, or even when it was not a Shas Haktoris, rather the Kohen was engaged in and Matan Dam, applying Dam of a carbon in Kodesh HaKadoshim. In either case, vacating the Heichal is a requirement. So once again, you have to be purged from the Heichal. When a Kohen was engaged in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, irrelevant of whether he was engaged in Kteris or Matan Dam, as opposed to the Bein Ha'ulam V'Lamizbeach area, the area of the Azor right beside the Heichal, that doesn't have the same limitations. It doesn't have the same requirements. From that area, you have to be Purish only when Haktorah was in session, when the Kohen Gadol was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim engaged in Keteris, but not if he was simply engaged in Matan Dam. Let's stop for a second. This is the Havamin of the Gemara. The Gemara figures that a Hechel is considered higher, has more limitations than the area of the Zora right outside the Hechel, between Ulam and Mizbeach, with respect to Prisha. That by Hechel we find vacating is required when the Kohen Gadol was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, engaged in either one of two, either Haktoris, Ktoris, or Matan Damim, as opposed to the area of the Bein Ulam v'Lamizbeach, which didn't carry the same restrictions. It didn't have the same requirement over there. You only have to be Purish if the Kohen Gadol was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim doing the Ktoris, but not if you're simply involved in Matan Damim. Now, why would you even think to differentiate between Haktoris, Ktoris, and Matan Damim with respect to Ulam v'Lamizbeach? So Tosfos says because this din of Prisha by Haktoris, Ktoris is Kosav B'Kro Behedya. It's a clear pasuk. We learned it from the words of Chippa B'Adva Beisa that we're speaking about the Haktoris, Ktoris. That's something that the pasuk explicitly describes, as opposed to the din Prisha applied to engagement in Damim, when the Kohen is involved in applying the Dam. That's a Iribui from L'Chaper B'Kodesh, so it doesn't carry the same weight. It's a less severe Isser. And therefore, when it comes to applying a Gzera D'Rabbanu, remember the din of vacating between Ulam and Mizbeach is not Manatur, it's only D'Rabbanu, because he might accidentally wander into the Eichel. Says Tosis, it's Mistara. At least the Gemara, the Havmin at this point figures. It makes sense to apply more Gzera when we're speaking about a more severe Isser, like such as Prisha during Haktoris Ktoris, and therefore we extend that din to the Ulam v'Lamizbeach as well, as opposed to when he's engaged in Matan Dam, which is not such a severe Isser, and therefore we limit our Gzera and we choose not to apply it to the Ulam v'Lamizbeach in this case. Okay, let's get back to our Gemara. The Gemara figured the Braisa is speaking about Haktoris Ktoris and Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Braisa tells us, we find an advantage that the Hechel has over the area between Ulam and Lamizbeach, because you must be purished from the Hechel, regardless of whether the Kohen Gadol is involved in Haktoris Ktoris, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or Matan Damim, as opposed to the Azora section, between Ulam and Lamizbeach, that Issa D'Rabban only applies with respect to Haktoris Ktoris. The Kohen Gadol was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim doing Ktoris, fine, you have to vacate that area. But when he's involved in only Matan Damim, there's no din of Prisha from Ulam HaMizbeach. Says the Gemara Bekshas HaKtora Miyaparshi. Evidently, Prisha applies from that section of Ulam HaMizbeach, even if the Kohen Gadol was not in the Hechel, he was deep in the Kodesh HaKadoshim doing Ktoris. This is in contradiction to Rabbi Elazar, who tells us there's no din Prisha from the Ulam HaMizbeach when there's nothing going on close by. My love Bishas HaKtora, let's perhaps assume, that's the default assumption, the Brice is referring to Haktoris Ktoris even in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And that's a kash on Rabbi Elazar. Loi, says the Gemara, B'shas HaKtora De'Eichel. The Brice is not speaking about something going on Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Brice is telling us, you have to clear out this section of Bein Ulam V'Mizbeach when the Kohen is engaged in Ktoris in the Eichel, close by. This fellow might be overcome by curiosity and walk in. Chacham applied a gzera, clear the area. But certainly, if there was Ktoris going on deep inside in Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no concern. And the Braisa is telling you, look, the same din of Prisha, which applies back to Ktoris, also applies during the time of Matan Dam. Matan Dam in the Hechel will require clearing out the area next to the Hechel, for concern that he might wander into the Hechel to observe the proceedings. Continues the Gemara Ihachi. If that's the correct Pshat in the Braisa, let's proceed further. Ho ma mala? Look, the Braisa continued and presented a mala. What's the advantage that Hechel has over the section of the Azor called Bein Ulam v'Mizbeach? What's the added element that is found in Hechel over the other area? The Braisa tells us, the added factor of the Chiv Prisha even when the Kohen is engaged in Matan Dam. That's the advantage that Heichal has over Ulam HaMizbeach. Because when the Kohen Gadol isn't a Kodesh HaKadoshim, even if he's not doing Haktoras Ketores, he's applying Dam, he must vacate the Heichal. That's something we find only by Heichal. And it's not found in that section of Bein Ulam HaMizbeach. That's what the Brisa seems to say. So when it comes to Matan Dam, we have a mile, an advantage that Heichal has over Bein Ulam HaMizbeach. Because Bein Ulam HaMizbeach only carries the Chiv Prisha when there's something taking place in the Heichal. But certainly not when there's Matan Dam taking place in the Kodesh Kedoshim. You only have to clear the Heichal when that's happened. So that's the mile that Heichal has over Bein Ulam HaMizbeach. That's the Brisa. Says the Gemara, that's difficult to understand. Why would the Brisa have to switch tracks? Go over to Matan Dam. We're trying to find a mila that Heichal has over Ulam HaMizbeach. So we say, well, you know what the mila is? Because when the Kohen is involved in Matan Dam in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to clear the Heichal. But at that point, you don't have to clear the Ulam HaMizbeach. It's 2 steps away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's no Chiv Prisha at that point. Forget about Dam. Stick to Keteris, which is the topic at hand. Within Keteris itself, you find the discrepancy between Ulam HaMizbeach and Heichal, which stands much higher, has higher, more restrictions. Why? As we just said. Because when the Kohen is involved in Keteris in the Heichal, you have to clear the Ulam HaMizbeach as well, because he might wander in. But when he's doing Keteris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no Din Prisha between Ulam and Mizbeach, but there is a Din Prisha from Heichal at that point. That in itself is a mile that Heichal has over Ulam and Mizbeach. Why go over to Dam? If you can just stick to Keteris. Says the Mori Hachi, if your Pshat and the Brisa is correct, which Pshat? That the Din of Prisha between Ulam and Mizbeach only applies when the Kohen is doing something in the Heichal, but not in the Kodesh Kedoshim. Whether Keteris or whether Dam, is too far away. There's no gzera that is going to enter the Heichal at that point. Why does the Brisa present the mila of the Heichal over the Ulam HaMizbeach in the context of Matan Dam? If there's Matan Dam taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you have to clear the Heichal, but you don't have to clear the Ulam HaMizbeach. Why switch over to Dam? Vesulai, there isn't another advantage? Meaning, when you're doing Keteris, don't we find the same mila? Ha'ika, ha'mala. You have the following advantage. Dilu me'hechol, parshi, bein b'shas haktorah d'day. Because you have to clear the hechol, whether the Kohen is engaged in haktoras k'toras in the hechol, bein b'shas haktorah d'lufnai lufnim, or whether he's engaged in k'toras deep inside in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have to clear the hechol regardless. V'ilu me'bein hulam ha'mizbeach, as opposed to clearing the Ulam HaMizbeach, it's more limited in scope. Parshi, you only have to vacate the area when there's Keteris taking place in the Heichal, but not when there's something taking place far inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So why skip over to Dam? If your contention is correct, there's no Chiv Prisha from Ulam HaMizbeach when the activity is taking place far away, i.e. Keteris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Why can that serve as a contrast point between Ulam HaMizbeach and Heichal, which needs Prisha, even when there's Keteris in Kodesh HaKadosh? So why jump over to Dam to draw that contrast? Focus on Keteris and accomplish the same thing. Says the Gemara, actually, that's exactly what the Brisa meant to say. You misunderstood the Brisa. Brisa was not speaking about when the Kohen is engaged in Matan Dam. The Brisa presented the advantage of Heichal over Ulam HaMizbeach within the context of Haktoras Keteris. Haktani, it's exactly what the Brisa was saying. You want to have a mila found by Heichal over Ulam HaMizbeach? It's as follows. Elo shebeheichal parshin bein b'shas haktorah. Because from the Heichal, you have to clear, have to leave, whether it's during the Haktorah of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ubein sheloi b'shas haktorah. Or when it's not Haktorah in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rather, he's doing Haktorah in the Heichal itself. Prisha is applied in either of these cases. As opposed to Ulam HaMizbeach, which doesn't carry the same weight. In Persian, Ella b'shasak Torah, that area has to be cleared only when the kohen is engaged in Haktorah within the Heichal itself. But if it's deep inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no chiyuv prisha from Ulam v'Mizbech. And this is in fact in line with Rabbi Elazar, who tells us that clearing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, clearing the Heichal, is Menat Torah, and is applicable whether the kohen is involved in Keturis or in Matan Dam, whether in the Heichal or Kodesh HaKadoshim. But clearing the Ulam v'Mizbech from the Rabbanon, concerned that perhaps he might wander in mistakenly and take a look at the avodah taking place nearby. So if it's nearby, there's a concern. But if it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there is no concern. Says the Gemara, one second, but there is still another advantage, another mala that we find in Heichel over the Azor. So we discussed the Chi of Prisha at the time of Akhtaris Keturis. But what happened about the Chi of Prisha from the Heichel during the Matan Domim? Vo'ika ha'mala, we have another advantage. Dilu me'hechel parshi, because the hechel has to be cleared out. Bein b'kdusha d'day, whether the kohen is engaged in matan damim, Rashi says b'kdusha means applying the dam, in the hechel itself. Bein b'kdusha l'fnayim v'fnim, or whether the matan dam is taking place deep inside in the kodesh hakodashim, you have to clear out the hechel. Ve'ilu me'bein ulam ha'mizbeach l'parshi, whereas clearing out the bein ulam ha'mizbeach that only applies ella b'kdusha d'hechel, when there's something going on in the hechel. Why does the Brisa focus only on Shas HaKetores Keturis? We find the same mala when there's Matan Damim. Amar Rabbi, you're right. Shem Prisha Achasi. It's all one concept, clearing the area. It's one mila. You have to clear the Heichel when there's something going on either in the Heichel or Kodesh HaKadoshim, irrelevant of whether it's Keturis or Matan Damim. And likewise, you clear out the Ulam L'Mizbeach only when there's something taking place close by in the Heichel. Whether HaKetorah or Matan Damim, it's all wrapped together, it's one and the same concept. And Tosfos says that's why we focus on Keturis, because really the Ikar Pasuk is discussing the Keturis. So we focus on that. And of course, the Halacha of Matan Damim comes along as well. Continues the Gemara Omamar. So we just learned that the same Halacha of Prisha that applies when something is taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it applies when there's activity in the Heichel as well. Kach Pershin, B'Shas Matan Par Kohen Mashiach, when the Kohen is engaged in applying the Dam of the Par Kohen Mashiach in the Heichel, U'Par Helm Dov Shal Tzibur, U'Siri Avedis Kicham. So when there's something going on in the Heichel, Prisha is in place as well. Menolan, how would we know to apply it when something is taking place in the Heichel? We have a Pasuk, and Achrei Mois describing something taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How do you know to extend it to the Heichel? Amar Pedas, Asu Kapara Kapara, Yom Kippurim. We draw a parallel using Gzeira Shava from Yom Kippur. Just as over there, will we find a reference to Kapara? That was the pasuk we learned earlier. B'chal Adam L'Yeh Bo'il Moed, B'vo'il Chaper B'Kodesh. Just as over there, we have the term Kapara, Prisha is in place. Likewise, when there's Matan Dam of those Karbonis in the Heichel, we are there as well. We find references to Kapara. Prisha is required as well. So we learn from here that whether the Kohen is engaged in Keturis or Matan Dam, whether in the Heichel or Kodesh HaKadoshim, we must clear out the area. So in conclusion, we learned about Prisha from the Pasuk of Chal Adam L'Yaboyel Mayed. As we just concluded, this applies whether there's something taking place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or in the Heichel. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, we have Keturis Keturis, which is the Kapara Shava to Aaron and Bnei Kohanim and Klal Yisrael. So when the Pasuk speaks about clearing out the area by a Kapara, which is Shava L'Koil, we assume it's a Keturis that's taking place at that moment. From the word V'Yoy L'Chaper B'Kodesh, we learn to apply this concept to when the Kohen is engaged in Matan Dam, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As we just learned, this applies when these activities are taking place in the Heichel as well. We draw a parallel Kapara Kapara from Yom Kippur. Now, from which areas do the Kohanim have to leave? Where does Prisha apply? So it applies from the Heichal. It applies whether there's activity in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or in the Heichal. What about clearing out the section of the Azara, which is between Ulam and Mizbeach? Due to Gzeirah D'Rabbanan, we don't want him to wander too close to the Heichal. He might just enter while activity is taking place. So there's a Gzeirah to clear that area as well. But as the Gemara concluded, that doesn't apply when there's something taking place deep inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which would not pique his curiosity and would not prompt him to enter, as opposed to when something's taking place in the Heichal, whether a Keteris or a Dam, they must clear the area closest to the Heichal for concern of an unauthorized entry. And of course, there's no Din Prisha applied anywhere in the Azar. Continues the Gemara, Amar Acha Barav. You see, there's a discussion, a Mishnah on Kelim, which provides a list of 10 Ma'alos. We go through 10 levels of Kedusha found in the Beis HaMikdash, the lowest of which being the Harabayis, working your way up to the Azorais. Bein Ulam v'Mizbeach had its own level of Kedusha. One cannot enter if he's not Rochet Yudayim Raglaim. We have the Ulam, we have the Heichal, we have the Kodesh HaKadosh. Says the Gemara, I'd like to ask you a question. This concept is Ma'at Torah. This Chiluk Madregas, these 10 levels of Kedusha, is it Torah-based, or is it merely Chumrayis Midrabban? Says the Gemara, the former. Shema Mino, Malos Torahis, V'cha Gemirlu. From our Gemara today, we can conclude that the concept of Malos is Midaraisa, V'cha Gemirlu. It was brought down tradition, Lachem Hashem Sinai. What's the right? What's the connection to our Gemara? You see, we just learned that Chacham applied a Din Prisha to the section of the Azara closest to the Heichal, the area between the Mizbeach and the Heichal. So you enter the Heichal, you have an open area, you have the Mizbeach, you have Bein Ulam and Mizbeach, then you have the Ulam and the Heichal. Prisha only applies to that section closest to the Heichal, for fear they might wander to the Heichal while in session. It doesn't apply to the rest of the Azara. We sort of create a demarcation, a delineation between two parts of the Azara. There's no Din Prisha throughout the Azara, even if there's something taking place in the Heichal. Whereas between Ulam and Mizbeach, there is Prisha. How can you go ahead and make that Chiluk within the Azara, which is really one Makom? Ah, that proves to us that Min HaTorah, we have two different Makomos in the Azara. Up until the Mizbeach area is considered like plain Azara, and between Mizbeach and Ulam is classified as a different area, an area of a higher Kedusha. And this serves the basis for differentiation between Azara and the section closest to the Heichal. That's why we apply Gzerah only to the small section in the Heichal, between Ulam and Mizbeach, which was regarded higher in Kedusha than the rest of the Azara. Let's see the Gemara inside. Shema mina malas deraisa v'chigmilu. This is hakadech derabbanan. Because if you'll propose that this concept of malas regarding different sections in the Beis HaMikdash differently in matters of Kedusha is only midrabbanan, why do you limit your din prisha to the section closest to the Heichal? Ma'ishna bein ulam v'la mizbeach. Why is it that only over there you say, oh, prisha is applied and there's something taking place in the Heichal, don't be found there. Dilma mikru v'ayli. Because perhaps one might inadvertently happen to enter into the Heichal while the Kohen is in session. Mikul azar na'amine for sure. Chacham should have required clearing out the entire Azara, which is one and the same area. It's one and the same territory. Dilma mikru v'ayli. For the same reason that one might enter the Azara while in session. Apparently, says Gemara, this chiluk is minatur. Minatur, we consider the area of Bein Ulam and Mizbeach as a separate area from the rest of the Azara. That explains when the Chacham applied Gzera, it was only to that area, not to the rest of the Azara. Says the Gemara, not so fast. No. Perhaps the entire Azara is regarded as one and the same territory. One in the same zone. Why then are you differentiating between the section between Mizbeach and Ulam and the rest of the Azorah? Very simple. Beinu Ulam b'la Mizbeach ki v'delei mafsek midi loy min kurum milsa. Because between Mizbeach and Ulam, there's nothing to separate him. There's no barrier there. There's no landmark in his way, prompting him to stop and take stock. Oh, 1 second, I'm walking to the Heichal. He might just absentmindedly wander to the Heichal while the Kohen is in session. Loy min kurum milsa. It's not clearly defined. It's not clearly separated from the Heichal. Therefore, we apply Prisha to that section as well, just in case he might end up in the Heichal. As opposed to the Azorah, from the Mizbeach and back, we have a huge landmark standing in our way. Kiva the Ikim Mizbeach Achit and the Mafsik, we have the Mizbeach right there in front of us. Min Kirim Musa. That provides clarity. Oh, 1 second. I shouldn't be walking past this area towards the Heichal. There's something going on in the Heichal at this point. There's a clear demarcation. And therefore we say, all the Chacham were concerned about accidentally entering the Heichal. That only applies to the section which is very close to the Heichal, with nothing in between, as opposed to the rest of the Azorah, which does not carry that concern. Amar Rava, furthermore, says the Gemara, I'll prove another point. The fact that Chachamim applied a gzera to the section of the Azorah between Mizbeach and Ulam, you see, we have the Azorah, we have the Mizbeach, we have Bein, Mizbeach and the Ulam, we have the Ulam, which is the antechamber, the entrance to the Heichal, and we have the Heichal. There's a Shaila presented in Gemara's elsewhere regarding the status of the Ulam. Ulam is a hallway, a corridor into the Heichal. Does it have the same Kedusha as the Heichal? Suppose he was Makrav, something which he was supposed to do in the Heichal, he did it in the Ulam. Is it Yaitse? We discussed in the beginning of Erevin. It's a Shaila presented in the Gemara. It says, Rava, I'll prove from this Gemara, Shmamina, Kedushas Ulam v'Heichal Chad Milsi. The Ulam and the Heichal go together, hand in hand. How does he prove from our Gemara? We know that Chachamim, when they applied Gzira, it was to safeguard the Din Torah, to present a fence, to secure the Isser Torah. But they wouldn't do a double Gzira, a double decker Gzira. We learn it from Pasuk, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmati, make a Mishmeres, but not a Mishmeres L'Mishmeres, a double Gzira. In our Gemara we learn that Minat Torah, you cannot enter the Heichal while the Kohen is in session, right? With the Rabbanon, they extended the Isser over to the area immediately next to the Heichal for concern of inadvertent wandering into the Heichal. Okay, but not a double Gzera. They wouldn't go 2 steps away. It says Rava, I can prove from this, from the fact that the Chachamim applied Gzera on that section of the Azorah closest to the Ulam, I'll prove from there that it's not 2 steps away. So apparently, the Ulam is regarded as the same Kedusha, as having the same Kedusha as the Heichal. In which case, the Issur Torah extends through the Heichal into the Ulam, and then begins Issur Drabbanan, on the section closest to the Ulam. It's not 2 steps away, it's right there, it's 1 step away. Because the Issur Kedaitach Shtei Kedushas Ninu. Because if you'll say that I'm wrong, Ulam is one Kedush, Heichal is another Kedush. How could it be that Chacham would apply Gzera in the Azara, which is so far removed from the Heichal? It's 2 steps away from the Heichal. But in Torah, you can't enter the Heichal. You can enter the Ulam, and certainly the Azara. Why would the Chacham extend the Isra Heichal through the Ulam, which is 1 step away, into the Azara, 2 steps away? These are Gedaitach Shtei Kedushas Ninu. Ulam Gufei Gzera. The Ulam itself is already a Gzera. It's already 1 step away from the Torah. It's already 1 fence. V'neikum v'nigzer Gzel Gzera. Who we then get up and apply a double Gzera. Add another Gzera in the Azara section, near the Ulam, on top of the Gzera already applied to the Ulam, on account of its being so close to the Heichal. It's a double Gzera. Apparently, it's Rav Araya. Ulam and Heichal are regarded as one. And I tell you, you can't enter the Ulam just as much as you can't enter the Heichal. Chacham added another section. First section next to the Ulam, which is Bein Ulam and Mizbeach, it's a single Gzera. Clear the area of concern, they might enter the Ulam. Says, well, no, you cannot prove anything from our Gemara. What? You're concerned about a double deck of gzera? Ulam ubeinu ulam v'mizbeach adukdushi. The question is, what status does ulam have? On the one side, you have the azara, right? Being between ulam and mizbeach. On the other side, you have the hechel. You attempted to prove that the ulam connects to the hechel. Hechel and ulam are one. Chachamim's gzera applies next to the ulam. It's a single fence, a single gzera. It's one step away. Maybe do it the other way around. Maybe the ulam relates to the area of the azara. It's one kedusha with the azara, and not with the hechel. So once again, it's only one gzera. Just as you can't be in the hechel min haTorah, we want you to stay away a bit further. You shouldn't be in the section nearest to the hechel. What encompasses that section? The ulam and bein ulam mizbech, which are regarded as one zone, a single gzera. So you haven't proven your point. Maybe the ulam is not connected to the hechel, but rather connected to the area outside the hechel, outside the ulam. No, ulam ubein, ulam v'mizbech, the ulam together with the area next to it. Between ulam and mizbech, achad kedushi, a considered one. And it's one gzera, applied to the entire area as one. Hechel v'ulam shtei kedushi, of course. The hechel and ulam, unrelated. If one has a carbon that's meant to be brought in the hechel, if it brings it to the ulam, it's not yetzi. So you haven't really proven your point. Continues the Gemara. B'chol yom ha'yechayse b'shal kesef. Mishnah tells us some differences between Yom Kippur and your typical day in the Beis HaMikdash. Typically, they would scoop the coals from the Mizbech HaChitzin for use of the Keteris in Mizbech HaPnimi. They would do that scooping it with a silver machta, which would get worn out along the process. So you begin with silver, and then you transfer the content into a gold container. My time, why would they scoop using silver? Torah chasa alma moinin sheyisrael. We find that the Torah is concerned about unnecessary expenses of Kal Yisrael, meant to conserve your money, and therefore scoop out using silver to minimize the loss. V'hayoyim, however, Yom Kippur choyse b'shal zohav ubohi yamachnes. He would scoop using a gold machta and use that same machta to carry the coals into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. My time, why would they do that? Mishum cholsho the Kohen Gadol, concerned about the weakness of the Kohen Gadol to conserve his energy, so minimize activity and need to transfer from one machta to the other, and therefore he begins and ends with the same golden machta. V'chol yoyim b'shal baris kavin v'chu. Mishnah tells us, you begin with a large sized machta, then you transfer the content into a smaller machta. We had two shitas in the Mishnah. Either you begin with a 4 kav machta and spill it into a 3 kav machta, or you begin with a sa'ah and you transfer it into a 3 kavin. Tani went to the Brisa and his spazer loy kav gecholim. When he transferred from 4 to 3, he ended up with an extra kav which dropped down, dispersed on the floor, mechabdin la'ama, which he would sweep into the stream, the water running through the azar. Tani chada, we have one Brisa which says kav, a kav of coals dispersed on the floor. Tani idach kavaim, there were actually 2 kavim that were left behind. We understand why it would be a kav. That's Shitas Rabbanon. He began with a 4 kav machta, transferred into a 3 kav machta, leaving one behind. Elahachta tani kabayim mani. But this brayta which speaks about 2 kav dispersing, whose shita is this? Lo Rabbanon. It cannot be the Rabbanon who say the first machta contained 4 kav, and then you transfer into a 3 kav, which leaves you only 1 kav extra. So it can't be the Rabbanon. But lo Rabbi Yosi, nor is it Rabbi Yosi who tells us in the Mishnah. He begins with a kav, with a machta which contains a sa, which is generally referred to as 6 kavin, then transfers into 3, which leaves him with 3 extra kav. So who is this Braisa which speaks about 2 leftover kav? Amrav Chizda, it's a new shita. Rabbi Shmuel b'noi shabreichem broika hi, the sanya. Rabbi Shmuel b'noi shabreichem broika oimer, b'shal kabayim hayamachnis. He scooped the coals using a machta containing 4 kav, but then transferred into a smaller sized machta containing 2 kav, leaving him with 2 kav on the floor. Rav Ashi Omar, afilu tein Rabbi Yosi. You know what? This could be Rabbi Yosi. He begins with a machta that contains a sa'ah and transfers into a machta which contains 3 kav. How does that leave him with 2 kav behind? V'achi ka'amar. This is what Rabbi Yosi means to say. V'chol yoyim ha'yechayse b'shal sa'amid baris. Typically, he would scoop out those coals using a large size machta with a content of a sa'amid baris. A sa'amid baris means it contained 6 kavin, Now, in Midbar, the Kaven was smaller sized than Yerushalayim. So a Sa'ah Midbar contains six Kavi of Midbar. But then when it went to Yerushalayim, they upgraded, they enlarged the measures, and a Kav now contains five larger sized Kav. So technically speaking, when he had a Machta, that had a Sa'ah capacity, it was really only five Kav in the Yerushalmi form. So very simple. He takes that Sa'ah and spills it into three Kav Yerushalmi, leaves him with two Kav Yerushalmi. B'chol Yoyim, and then he would spill it into a smaller sized container, which had a capacity for three kav Yerushalmi. So it was five kav into three. So he ended up with two on the floor. Generally, the machta was heavyweight, it was thick and durable. Today, it was thin and light. Typically, its walls. The material was thick, vayoyim rach. It was thin and lightweight to make it easy for the Kohen Gadol to transfer. V'chol yoyim ha'isak tzara. Typically, the handle was short, vayoyim ha'ruchan. Today, he had a long handle. My time of why? Kadesha tehizro yoyim shel Kohen Gadol masayatai. So that he can use his arm to support the machta by way of the long handle. Yerushalmi says it was an arm and a half. Tana, we're going to embrace one more difference. V'chol yoyim, typically, lo yoyolani ashtik. The mach did not have a ring hanging from it. It had a ring swinging back and forth on it, jingling like a bell. Rashi says, the pasuk says, "V'nishma koyloi bevoyei lakodesh." Typically, Kohen Gadol would wear a me'il with bells dangling along the bottom. Today he walked into the Kodesh HaKadosh and was just white. He didn't have any a bell, anything that would announce his arrival. So he had a swinging ring on the machta, which would jingle like a bell and herald his arrival. Divrei, this is the shita of Ben Haska. B'chol yom ha'yozahava yarek. We have one more difference. Typically, the machta was made of yellowy gold, and today it was rose gold, reddish gold. Amar avchiz the shiva zahav meim. There are actually seven different types of gold. Zahav, that's the standard. Zahav v'zahav toiv, a higher quality zahav. Vizav Eifer, the Muslim will explain what these things mean. Vizav Eifer, Vizav Mufas, Vizav Shachud, Vizav Sagar, Vizav Parvim. Explains the Gemara. Zahav, Vizav Taiv, the two first varieties. How do we find, where do we find that? Dechsiv Vizahava Eretzahi Taiv, the Pasuk Bereishis, describing the gold of that land was Taiv, was high quality. Taisa says, Meshem Di Yerushalmi, means it was highly purified gold. So we see there is standard gold and better gold. Next on the list is Zohar Eifir, because it comes from that place. Zohar, the Asimi Eifir, comes from Eifir. Zohar Mufaz, what does that mean? Shadoima the Paz, it glistens like a diamond. Paz is a diamond. Margolius Rashi says. Zohar Shachut, what does that mean? Shenitva Kechut, it's pliable and it would stretch into a thread. Zohar Sagar, that's really high quality. Closed gold. Once you open up the shop that sells this gold, once it becomes available, everybody shuts down. There's nothing to talk about. This takes the cake. All the shops close down. Zov Parvim, that's the final item on the list. Why is it called as such? It's actually a pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. Zov Parvim. Shedoyma lemaparim, because it had a reddish tinge to it, which resembled the dam of the par, which was used on Yom Kippur. Now, what's the purpose here? It says it's Siach Yitzchak. Why would the Kohen Gadol only wear white in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Gemara says, in Kateger, a prosecutor can't become a Saneger, can't present himself as an advocate. So gold resembles the Chet HaEgel, Egel HaZov. And Yom Kippur, we don't want any remembrance of the Egel HaZov, so he wears pure white entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kasha is, how's it going with the gold Machta? The answer is, it's reddish and resembles the Dam HaPar. He's still going to come with the Kapar. So it would mitigate that effect. And gold here actually represents kapara, which is a good siman for Yom Kippur. Rav Ashi Amar, you mentioned seven types of gold. Actually, chamishen, it's only five. V'chal chad v'chad. Each one of those five is bay, has within it an element of zav, v'zav toiv, an element of plain and advanced gold, for a total of seven. Tanna mihochi, we actually have a brisa in support of the pshat. Which pshat? That Zov Parvim gets its name from Dama Par, because of its reddish tinge. B'chol yom ha'yozav, a yarek, typically, we spoke about a yellowy gold. Vayom Adam, today it's reddish. Vahainu Zav Parvim, that's mentioned in the Pasuk Divra Yamim Zav Parvim. Why? Shadayim Adah Parim, because it had that reddish tinge, which resembled and represented the dam of the par. Okay, time for a brief chazara. Just focus on the main points of today's daf. We learn from the pasuk v'chol odom lo yevo el moed. When the kohen is engaged in either haktoras k'turis or matan dam in the heichal or the kodesh hakadoshim, we meant to vacate that area. So the heichal is meant to be cleared of all other kohanim at that time, and the chacham extended that to the area right next to the heichal, bein ulam v'mizbeach, when there was something going on in the heichal, which was close by, perhaps would attract attention and attract unauthorized visitors. Therefore, they said, keep away from the area which is the closest in proximity to the heichal. We learned about differences between Yom Kippur and throughout the year. They made it easy for the Kohen Gadol. We spoke about the sort of improvised bell on the Machta to announce his arrival, and the reddish gold, which resembled Kapar. Kol Tuv to you.